Good morning. I am Jim, and on behalf of North Star Mennonite Church in Drake, I welcome you to this time of worship. This is the ninth consecutive Sunday that our church family has not been able to gather together for worship. We miss that, and we anxiously wait for the passing of the coronavirus so that we can again be together in our sanctuary. This also causes us to ponder if some good can come out of this pandemic. Will we be more able to distinguish between wants and needs? Will we be more considerate of others? Will we be more generous? Will we be more thankful for what God has given us? Will our nations be more aware of God and our need to be in relationship with Him? And will we take better care of God's wonderful creation? These are some of the results that we can consider in our prayers. By way of announcements, I'd like to highlight that the Community Gift and Thrift Store will be reopening on Tuesday, June 9th. Hours will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Donations will be accepted Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Thursday, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Mennonite Church Canada have been posting Sunday morning worship services, which are very well done. Go to Mennonite Church Canada's website to view. Today is what the Christian Church has called Trinity Sunday. It's a time when we recognize the presence of God with us through God our Creator, through Jesus our Savior, and through the Holy Spirit our Encourager. With that in mind, I want to mention these words from Paul that he sent to the Corinthians, where he writes, "Encourage one another, grow in Christ, live in harmony and peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." As a call to worship, I would like to read this from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your glory is above the heavens and surrounds us in the world, and so we come to praise you. When we look at your heavens, the moon and the stars, the work of your fingers, who are we to praise you? Yet you have made us in your image and set us in this world that you love. And so we come to worship you and learn to care for your earth. Let us bow in prayer. Creator God, we gather with joyful hearts to remember all you have done for us and to seek your holy presence. You spoke, and the world came into being, in beauty and in balance between all things. In loving partnership, you made humankind in your image, and you have called us to walk with you in creation. When we wandered away, you came to us in Christ to show us how to live in this world, and how to love you and each other more fully. Your Holy Spirit keeps coming to us to guide us in the work of your kingdom. In all ways and for all time, you are with us. And so we worship you in love and gratitude, trusting you will never leave us, ever three and ever one. Amen. God, our Creator, we confess that we have not lived wisely in your creation, and so the earth suffers. God, our Redeemer, we have not valued ourselves or one another as those made in your image, and so our relationships are strained. God, our Sustainer, we have not trusted in your loving guidance, and so we follow paths that lead to foolish ends. Forgive our mistakes and choices and our selfish desires. Call us back to your loving presence and teach us again how to follow you. Hear our prayers through Jesus, your Son. Amen. Now hear these words of assurance. Dear friends, St. Paul declared to us that from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Thanks be to God that we can all make a new start this day and every day. As we pause to consider announcements or to consider our offerings, we remind you that offerings can be dropped off at the church office here. In the season of Pentecost, we celebrate the outpouring of God's Spirit upon the church, filling it with the gifts needed to serve in Jesus' name. As we present our offering, may God fill us with the gift of generosity so that our love overflows in the example of Christ Himself. Let us pray God's blessing on our offerings. Generous God, thank you for all we have received from you, which brings us hope and joy. We thank you, Jesus, for the church and the many organizations that represent your love in a variety of ways. May our time, our talent, and our treasure bless them. Bless the gifts we bring so that they may accomplish your purposes in the name of your greatest gift, Jesus Christ, we pray. Our scripture lessons for today are taken from the book of Psalms and from Exodus, beginning with Psalm 62, verses 1 to 8, and this is a psalm of David. I stand silently before the Lord, waiting for him to rescue me, for salvation comes from him alone. Yes, he alone is my rock and salvation, my rescuer, defense, and fortress. Then why should I be tense with fear when trouble comes? But what is this? They pick on me at a time when my throne is tottering. They plot my death and use lies and deceit to try to force me from the throne. They are so friendly to my face while cursing in their hearts. But I stand silently before the Lord, waiting for him to rescue me, for salvation comes from him alone. Yes, he alone is my rock, my rescuer, defense, and fortress. Why then should I be tense with fear when trouble comes? My protection and success come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust him all the time. Pour out your longings before him, for he can help. Our second scripture lesson is from the Old Testament, from Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled it. Moses was not able to enter because the cloud was standing there, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Whenever the cloud lifted and moved, the people of Israel journeyed onward following it. But if the cloud stayed, they stayed until it moved. The cloud rested upon their tabernacle during the daytime, and at night there was fire in the cloud, so that all the people of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. Now Donna will bring us this morning's meditation entitled Rest to Prepare.
Good morning. I hope today finds you well and rested. Let's start with prayer. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to meet together virtually and with our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will open our ears so that we may hear, open our minds that we may learn and understand, and Lord, open our hearts so that we can hear and love you and take to heart what you have said. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever received a word of encouragement from someone, or a word you felt came from God and it chafed and irritated you? That happened to me this past Lent season. One week during a Lent service, we were given a slip of paper and a pencil and asked to write down a word we felt God was giving to us. Mine was rest. I do not like that word. For one reason, I and we have grown up in a culture where what we do and how we perform is how our value is measured. Rest is only for the weak. Another reason I do not like the word, I think, is because I do not truly understand what rest looks like. My first reaction to rest is, are you getting enough sleep? Sometimes I am, and yet I still do not feel rested. Shortly after this, my niece shared an article about rest. 5 questions to ask yourself if you're getting enough rest from Tend and Mend. The author of this blog, Kylie, defines rest this way. The intentional ceasing or slowing of striving, making, producing, working, making space for being with yourself and others, enjoying, delighting, playing, relishing, reflecting, remembering, and dreaming. Let me repeat that. Rest is the intentional ceasing of slowing, the intentional ceasing or slowing of striving, making, producing, and working. And it's making space for being with yourself and others, and enjoying, delighting, playing, relishing, reflecting, remembering, and dreaming with them. This kind of rest is more than just sleep. It is purposely looking for ways to rejuvenate and prepare for the next step or project that we want to undertake. It means renewing, taking care of ourselves so that we can give everything that we want to give. Also, rest means pressing into God and asking Him where I need to be and what do I need to be doing. This sounds so simple, and yet it is so hard. I don't always want to slow down. In fact, I kind of like to complain about how busy I am. It somehow makes me feel productive and important. Then COVID happened, and we all came to a screeching halt. Forced rest is not what any of us were expecting or wanting. This summer, we are going to be talking about the tabernacle and how it relates to church. You may be wondering how rest and the tabernacle fit together. What I want to do today is look very briefly at how Sabbath rest and the tabernacle prepare us for our work and the promised land, or the something new once COVID is done. Rest is so important that it is there at the beginning. Our first thought is to jump to Genesis 2, verse 2. It says there, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rested from his work. We too need to rest from our work. But have you noticed something else in the scripture? The whole creation story has a small little rest included in it. And there was evening and there was morning. This phrase is repeated 6 times, once after each day. God rested so that he could work. Evening is a time to slow down, rest, and get ready for a new day. Not only did God rest at the end of his work, he rested so that he could work. What would happen if we started thinking of our days differently? Instead of night or evening being the end of our day, what if we thought about it as the beginning of our day? That sleep and rest were what we needed before we could start a new day? Would we treat our evenings differently? Would we go to bed sooner? Would we pack less into our evenings? Would we deliberately slow down? Or would we pack more into the evening so that we had less to do in the morning? In Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments are given. The fourth commandment says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Do we keep a day of Sabbath? I can almost hear the comments. Well, someone has to work on Sunday. Essential services need to keep going regardless of the day or the pandemic. It is interesting to see what have been considered essential services during this pandemic. Many of the services we consider essential today during this pandemic are the lowest paid and most expendable people, the cleaners and those who work in the grocery stores. Yes, we need doctors and nurses. We always have, and we always will. I have found it interesting that there are others that are now considered essential that many of us treat with disdain and consider their jobs less than admirable. I'm not saying everyone feels this way. However, some do. Many of those that are now considered essential have made comments on social media about wondering how long they will be appreciated once the pandemic is over. That is a sad commentary on what we consider essential in the good times versus the bad times. Yet, even in the busiest of times, we need to take time for God and keeping a Sabbath. There is a story I read once about a college student that was determined to get good grades. He studied long hours, spent little time with his friends, and spent no time at church. Instead of his grades showing his great effort, his grades started to slip. He wondered what he was doing wrong. As a last resort, he turned to God and asked, "Help me get my grades up, please, God. I need to pass." He seemed to hear God say, "Give me 24 hours of your week, every week." The student replied, "I can't do that. I'm going to fail." He felt God's reply, "That's what you're doing now. What do you have to lose? All I am asking for is 24 hours out of your week." The student decided to try it. He didn't have anything to lose. From 6 o'clock p.m. on Saturday to 6 p.m. on Sunday, he would not study. He would use that time to rest, read his Bible, go to church, spend time with his family and friends. Over the next couple of months, he noticed that his grades started to improve. He was more rested. His relationships were better, and he felt that he was once more in a good place with God. For some of us, Saturday and Sunday are not a Sabbath or a day of rest. Biblically, those would be the days to choose. Yet, with shift work and the way we do life these days, Saturdays and Sundays are not always easy to stop and rest. What other day of the week could you choose instead? Would Monday be a better day? Or what about a Wednesday? Pick 24 consecutive hours to give to God. How do you think your life would change? Does it mean you cannot spend time with family and doing the things that energize you? No. It means that It means being intentional about your time and setting it aside, asking God how to use those 24 hours. Later in Exodus, in chapter 23, verses 10 through 13, we learn a little bit more about the Sabbath laws. Not only are we supposed to set one day aside a week, 1 year and seven is supposed to be given to God. In the seventh year, it says, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. I suggested that to my farmer husband one time. He did not take that well. You can't do that. What would happen to the land? Think of all the weeds, all that hard work gone to waste. Those may not have been his exact words, but I think you get the idea. I can only imagine what other farmers would say. But what would it look like if we did that? Have we become so urbanized that the very idea of leaving crop for someone else to harvest goes against everything we have worked so hard for? What would happen to world hunger and poverty if we actually practiced a Sabbath rest for the land? I'm not saying to leave everything fallow in 1 year. Rotate your fields to get the rest. Also, in our day and age, I'm not sure people would know what to do with that land and the extra food. Though I have noticed there are posts out about the fact that there is not a beef shortage, only a packaging shortage. Find your friends and talk to a local farmer and butcher. They can get you meat. What would life look like if we gave every seventh year to God and ask him to direct our paths, decision, and works for that year? Would our year look different than a normal one? Are there things that we would add to our year? Would there be things that we would delete? How would we prepare for the year after we take a break? We have become so busy that we do not know how to slow down anymore. One of the biggest reasons that we need rest, a Sabbath, is because we need to prepare for what is to come. In Exodus, the people of Israel have just left Egypt. Moses has brought down the Ten Commandments. The people have gotten restless and gotten Aaron to make them a calf to worship. God's anger burns against the Israelites. Moses pleads with God for the people. God punishes those that have not followed him. Many die, and many follow God. In the middle of all this, God tells Moses to build the tabernacle. In chapter 25, we see the offerings that are brought willingly by the people for the tabernacle. Starting in chapter 26, we read how the tabernacle is supposed to be created. And from chapter 36 to 40, we see how the craftsmen make the tabernacle. And in chapter 40, we read about the setting up of the tabernacle and how every piece is precisely placed. Once the tabernacle is set up, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God came to be with his people so that they could have a physical manifestation of who they served. At night, the cloud was filled with fire. When the cloud lifted, the Israelites packed up camp and moved on. They lived in the wilderness for 40 years, preparing for the promised land. If they had followed the instructions in the first place, there would not have been the 40 years of preparation to finally get to where they were supposed to go. How often do we not follow through on instructions that we have been given? The 40 years in the wilderness were an opportunity to understand God and to prepare for what they had been promised. It was a time of rest and preparation. They needed to prepare their hearts, their minds, and their bodies for what was to come. We are in our own wilderness, not knowing what is on the other side of COVID. How are we preparing for it? What is going to happen once we are released from our restrictions? Will there be things that are the same? Will things be different? Does God have something new planned? Do you want to be part of that plan? How are you preparing for the future? How am I preparing for the future? I want to conclude with an illustration. When a young child hurts themselves or is tired, they crawl up on your lap, lay their head on your shoulder, and snuggle their forehead into your neck, and they press into you, looking for comfort and relief. You wrap your arms around your child, whisper words of encouragement and love into their hearts and ears. Once they have received those ministrations, they go on their way, refreshed, knowing that they are loved and cared for. In my mind's eye, I see God waiting for us to crawl up on his lap, to press into him, wait for his words of comfort and encouragement, feel his healing arms wrap around us and to refresh us. When we are rested, we can once again go about our work, refreshed and rejuvenated. Is God still the master of the universe? Yes. Does God still want us to follow him and obey him? Yes. What is he asking you to do today? What is he asking me to do today? What do we need to do to rest up and be prepared for what is to come? Let us use this time to rest, to pause, to ask God where he wants you and me to be, and what he wants us to be doing once this pause is over. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to pause, to rest, to rejuvenate, and to prepare. To prepare for what is ahead. Lord, I ask that you will open our hearts and open our minds to see what it is that you have prepared for each one of us, that we may walk forward rested, rejuvenated, and ready to do what you have asked us to do. Be with us this coming week as we prepare for another week ahead. And I pray that you will show us and direct us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, I'm Dan Graber, a pastor at North Star Mennonite Church in Drake. I'm going to continue with the service with our prayer time. I think it's pretty obvious we need to be praying about racism. And lament, examine our own hearts, as well as repent, ask for forgiveness as needed. And just to remind everyone, racism is not an American problem. It's most evident today. Before Donald Trump became president, I predicted that at its best, his presidency would reveal what America actually is like. And we're seeing that, not just in racism, and it's not just all him, of course, because racism has gone on long before President Trump. But we're seeing it in all kinds of ways, where essential workers are the most disposable workers and the least paid and the most endangered because many of them in their jobs aren't getting personal protective equipment that they need. I'd also just remind us, I haven't posted it yet, I think I might, but McLean's magazine had an article, I haven't read it all, but I took a quick look, of comparison between African Americans and Canada's indigenous people. And the article basically was saying, you know, Canadians need to be careful and not point fingers. We have our own work to do. The Mennonite Church USA and Mennonite Church Canada have given us a call to prayer, as well as many other denominations. And those of you on my email list received information on Friday with the Canada's, Mennonite Church Canada's call, and then the Mennonite Church USA call. And it includes some laments and other kinds of readings to ponder, think, and use. But let's begin our prayer time. Mennonite Church Canada, this nationwide call to prayer is a call for the church to boldly stand against racism that rips apart the social fabric of both of our countries. As a church, we speak for a God who made all persons in the image of the Creator's likeness. And I hope, if you haven't read, please read the Max Lucado article I sent last Monday out to everyone as an email. We are called to raise our voices and prayers and denounce the evil that racism inflicts upon our fellow human beings. Mennonite Church Saskatchewan, our conference, is asking all congregations to set aside a specific time of prayer on Sunday, June 7th, to join our sister churches and Mennonite Church USA as they lament the injustice and violence suffered by people of color in the U.S. And you have the nationwide call to read that you received Friday. So take a minute, go find it, pull it up, print it, and let's just take a few moments to reflect and to pray. You can even pause this on YouTube so you have the time you need. Let's continue. God of our past and our future, God of healing and hope, we come before you with grateful hearts, trusting that you walk with us through all the times of our lives, including this strange time of illness and isolation, and being faced once again with undeniable, unequivocal murder because of racism. You are still the God of our history and God of the world you love. So hear us as we pray for your world and the people around us. We remember today those who face danger and despair in these times, those who suffer the effects of coronavirus in their lives and in the lives of loved ones, those living with hunger while the world is distracted, those caught up in unrest and violence despite the pandemic, and all those whose lives are directed by forces beyond their control, which includes systemic racism. We do thank you for camera phones, where now, more than ever, it's right in front of us. Those with eyes to see and hearts of caring have to see what's going on. So hear our prayers, O Lord. We pray for all those working to relieve suffering of many different kinds and bring justice and peace to those most vulnerable. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those facing fear or frustration and those wrestling with sorrow or discouragement. We remember those who live with illness, disability, or pain day by day. We remember those who feel isolated, wherever they are and whatever their circumstances. And we remember those who know the grief and change of bereavement, particularly during this time. We pray for all those who work to bring healing and comfort to those who suffer, remembering those who put their own health and life at risk during the pandemic, and remembering the protesters. Stop those who are doing violence, but protect those who are being peaceful as a way to express their frustration, anger, lament. And it's a prayer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for all who feel helpless or hopeless in this present time of such uncertainty. For those facing unemployment or struggling to make ends meet. For those caught up in misunderstandings or broken relationships. For those working through situations of conflict at home or at work. For those struggling to get back to work, but then they don't have childcare. And we do have to pray about racism, systemic government, tribes killing each other. Doesn't really matter what the reason is, God. But somehow in us, if people are just different, we don't trust them. We're automatically suspicious. Just like when I worked in a store as a clerk, years ago, Christmas time, my boss hired off-duty policemen and retired policemen and others, and I discovered they ended up following people of color around, but not white people, especially not white, well-dressed people. Just kind of an automatic suspicion. It does get tiring to live under that kind of continual suspicion. At the same time, stop stealing. But actually, I think in my store, those who were caught tended to be more white than brown or black. Let us continue praying for our world and the situations we face that involve some kind of racism, some kind of tribalism, some kind of violence against someone else because of their religion or language. Lord, we have much as a world to ask for forgiveness for. We pray for all who offer guidance and support and great observations in the midst of the difficulties of the world. We thank you for their words, their wisdom, for their way of reframing situations in ways that catch our ears and hopefully change our hearts and give us perspectives that we need to have. Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. And remember, you can always stop the video, spend more time in prayer if something catches your attention or a thought comes, where the Holy Spirit goes, ah, you need to pray for this. Or pray for yourself. God of our past and our future, God of healing and hope, even as we cancel many meetings and activities this summer, help us as we hold meetings through technological means. Help us continue to respond to the pandemic nearby and around the world. We ask for your protection on all those who have been congregating and protesting. May they not continue to spread the virus. We also pray for the police too, who are in tough situations, and they too are exposed because there's no social distancing there on the streets. Hold each congregation and each denomination and your worldwide church together in the days ahead, and remind us of our common faith in Christ. Help us learn from the challenges we are going through, new ways of living out our faith. Help us to support our denomination and our local churches to engage questions and choices with respect and faithfulness, trusting that you can do new things for us and with us. And help us find ways not just to care for each other during the pandemic, but to address racism in ourselves, around us, and within our political structures and economic structures. Keep us loving and gracious in the example of Jesus, our Lord and friend. Hear our prayers. We offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. So to close, hear these words of the benediction. The prophet Micah declared that God requires three things of us: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our Creator. To all who truly repent, to turn away from hostility and seek reconciliation with the Almighty and their neighbors of all colors, languages, religions, and nations. In kindness and humility, God offers forgiveness and peace. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Lead us from death to life, from falsehood to truth, from idolatry of all kinds to following the one true God. Lead us from hate and racism to love, from war to peace. Let peace, as our Creator gives, fill our hearts with joy, generosity, and justice. And may the blessing of our God Almighty, Creator, Christ, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and dwell in our hearts this day and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Many people here in this part of Saskatchewan have already planted their fields. Some still have to finish, but many have. We've been blessed with a little bit of rain, could use more. So we're also thankful for that. Go in peace. Amen.